And with all of that, AI has become really useful because AI can then start to learn and see the patterns of success. So it can start to see parts of the organization are really managing to achieve outcomes and their needles are all moving in the right direction.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfans, Freddie D here. In this episode 196, we're joined by Tim Beattie, co-founder of Stellify. Tim helps service-based businesses solve a frustrating problem when product, sales, and customer success teams aren't aligned, growth stalls, customers slip through the cracks, and results get harder to measure. From his early career at BAE Systems through leadership roles at Deloitte, IBM, PwC, and the Red Hat Open Innovation Labs, Tim has built his work around creating real, lasting change. As co-author of DevOps Culture and Practice, he brings sharp insight into how outcome-driven enablement, AI, and better leadership can help your team deliver results that actually stick. Welcome, Tim, to Business Superfan Advantage Podcast. Great conversation. We started before we were recording. You're all the way from England at this point, but originally from Ireland. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's continue the conversation that we had before we started recording. And just give us a little bit of the backstory. I mean, you've come up with a really cool product that I'm going to keep the let you share the name. But what did you do before you came up with this platform?
Yeah, so my background, I've spent 25 years in the consulting industry, professional services and business consulting. So I've worked for Big Four companies. I've worked for IBM. I've also worked for some of the smaller niche boutique consulting services companies. I've learned a lot from those 25 years of experience working with clients. I guess I'd call them wastage. There's been suboptimal ways that services companies deliver value to clients, and there's quite a lot of leakage. And I've always been looking for ways to improve and the ways to correct. And in the early days of my career as working for PwC, IBM, Deloitte, etc., and I felt it always took a very long time for the projects and programs I was engaged on to deliver value to the end user, to the end client. They were usually huge, complex ERP programs. And I used to think I would love to be able to deliver value much more earlier in the process and much more iteratively and incrementally. I stumbled upon agile ways of working and methods in the early 2000s, 2005, 2006, which was kind of music to my ears. I felt that this is a much better way to deliver value to clients. Again, working for large SIs and consulting services companies, we were missing an enablement focus. We were the delivery people. We were body shopped into organizations to deliver. And I always felt this wasn't very honest when it came to business agility, which is all about high performing teams inside organizations. So in 2017, I got headhunted into a company called Red Hat from North Carolina. And this was a new kind of services model where the goal was all around enabling high-performing teams inside the client and getting good use out of the, in this case, Red Hat products. This was a shift for me from being a delivery consultant to an enablement consultant. And for the last 5-6 years, what I've realized, what everything has landed on, is I'm really passionate around outcomes, measurable outcomes in client organizations. So I set up my own company. I co-founded with a friend of mine who'd been at Google whilst I'd been at Red Hat. And we formed Stellify. Stellify, the word Stellify means turn into a star or place amongst the stars. Our metaphor here is organizations are a bit like a star system where teams of people are working towards outcomes and measurable outcomes are connected. They form constellations of light. And in an effort to try and visualize the connections of how one group of people are working towards some outcomes, but that is helping move the needle on another group of people's outcomes. And that's helping move the needle towards a more business strategic outcome. people should feel connected. People should feel aware and understand how they are driving needles to much bigger strategic outcomes and how they fit into that. So we built a platform and we've been experimenting with lots of ideas about alternative ways to deliver those services and to enable organizations to take an outcome-centric mindset and to be able to measure progress much earlier in the ecosystems world.
Yeah, it's a great backstory. And you're right. You know, getting everybody in line, I always use the example of a racing rowing team. You know, if you've got to get everybody, and it's all of it, because a lot of people just think of focus on just the internal team. But really, a lot of businesses have a multitude of external teams. So they may have contractors, they may work with suppliers, they may work with distributors, and really get that operating smoothly. You really got to get everybody in the whole ecosystem in line with what the direction is, because then everybody kind of understands what their position is in the equation. Just like we talked before we started recording, think of a sports team. Everybody has a role on the sports team, right? And then they have actually coaches for those positions to help them level up. But everybody knows the end game of what the objective is. So what you're doing is you've created a tool that helps people put together that whole mission and then helping pull together everybody onto the racing rowing boat so they're all rowing in one direction simultaneously. Because if you're not operating simultaneously, you're not going anyplace. You're not going in a circle. You're just wobbling, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And for that to work, you need transparency, you need alignment, and you need a common focus. And I loved when you said about sports teams, because I'm a big sports fan, huge Liverpool fan in soccer from the US, or football as we call it here in the UK. And Liverpool, when I was growing up, they didn't have the best of times. When I look at Liverpool now, especially over the last 5 years, where there's been wonderful leadership, and I know people that work at Liverpool Football Club, and one of the great things, one of the great principles that they've got is we're all in this together. You might be working in the staff canteen, the restaurant. You might be working in the club shop or the merchandise. But everybody feels connected to the big, hairy, audacious goal that they had. And that was to be the best team in England and the best team in Europe. Everybody felt proud to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. And everybody understood what their role in the mission was, and they would have some outcomes, and they would have ways that they would be able to see the progress, be very visible. But they could also, it was so transparent, you could also see what other parts of the organization are doing. And I think this is what makes really high-performing organizations. When, like you say, everybody understands what direction are we going, where are we trying to get to, what is that overarching goal, and where do we fit into it, and how do we need to collaborate with other parts of the ecosystem in order to achieve that bigger purpose. Lower performing organizations is where there's a lot of chaos and people are doing things that are maybe suboptimal or doesn't really matter. We're actually generating lots of outputs or deliverables, but it's not helping move the needle on those outcomes. So something we're going to do is just to try and make that much more visual, much more transparent, and to help everybody understand how does this whole thing fit together. And how do we achieve the big goal that we're all aiming for to make our organization a success?
And you bring up a great point, getting the concession stand person in line. I mean, they're really not part of the team, but they are part of the team. And that's the front line to the guests that are coming in to watch the team. It's the same thing. I had somebody on the show many episodes back that basically said, a perfect example is they asked the janitor in a hospital, what was their role? And the person, the response just blew this person away. He says, my job is to ensure and help the doctor save lives by keeping the room clean so that the patient doesn't get infected. Completely different mindset. They could have just said, oh, crap, I'm just the janitor here. I hate this job, but I need the money. No, they were empowered because they're helping, they're contributing to saving lives, just like the concession stand is contributing to making sure that the sports fans are getting a great experience because they're getting their stuff properly and efficiently.
And I bet that janitor is proud to work, to get to go to work in the morning. They feel that sense of purpose. They see how they contribute. If they didn't do that, or someone didn't do that role, You think about what the consequences are. So it's really important. When you said, Jonathan, remind, I thought you were going to say a different story, actually, the one that I'd heard, which was when in the 1960s, when NASA were looking to put a man on the moon for the first time. And Kennedy, who was the president at that time, was doing a site visit of NASA headquarters. And like presidents do, he just went to speak to some random people in the room just to introduce himself. And he saw a janitor in the corner. And he said, oh, I'm President Kennedy. Who are you? What do you do? And this janitor said, Mr. President, I'm helping put a man on the moon. And it's the same principle as what you're saying. A janitor doing his or her role, or actually they're doing that contribution because everyone in this room is here to put a man on the moon. That's that big goal that we're heading for. And the fact that was in the mindset is ultimately what made that a successful mission. It took a village. It took much more than a village. It took thousands of people all to be focused on that big prize.
You're absolutely right, Tim, because once you get that alignment going, you got energy going. And let's go back to the sports analogy, because I use that as a very excellent business example. You get the team that goes on the field that's fired up, pumped up, having fun, they got attitude, they're usually the guys that win because of the fact they got the team behind them, they're all aligned, they're on a mission. And the other team, you can see visually the difference when you've got a team that's in sync. They got attitude. They walk on the field. They got attitude. The other guys, you can see a lot of times they're still kind of fumbling, not sure what's going to happen. And you know the outcome a lot of times right at the beginning of the game.
Absolutely. And I think we use the word culture a lot in work, and it's sometimes overused or not used without understanding, because it's quite a mysterious energy when you think about culture. It's something you can't always see. You can feel it, right? So when you go into a very high-performing sports team, you realize it's an organization. It's not just the 11 players on the field. It's the backroom staff. It's the people that create the space, the stadium, what it is. It's the facilities. It's the experience that people have. And I think what the most successful organizations and teams are where this energy just exists, this culture, and that culture is just one of shared purpose, energy, motivation to achieve, motivation to succeed, focus on an outcome that everybody is bought into. And like you say, it's such an important ingredient to get that energy in place and to get that culture in place.
Let's take a quick pause to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm. Here's the deal. Most service business owners are drowning in spammy DMs and cookie-cutter LinkedIn messages that never get a response. Sound familiar? Ninja Prospecting flips that script. They craft human-first outreach that actually sounds like you, and more importantly, gets results. No bots, no fluff. Just real conversations that open doors. If you want to stop wasting time on dead-end messages and start filling your pipeline with qualified leads, talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com to schedule a chat today, and be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans, the Service Provider's Edge. And hey, if you're the kind of person who likes to get started right away, you can join their free community at school, skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704. It's packed with tips to maximize your connections and start making the right new ones. All right, let's get back to our conversation.
And that leads into what I call, you know, they're creating business superfans. Is a term that I use instead of advocates. I think business superfans is a cooler name. But really, at the end of the day, everybody, they're happy and they're telling everybody about where they're working at, the great company that they're at, the great environment that they're having. They're having fun. And it really isn't no longer a job. It's, man, I'd love going to work because this is a great company. It's a great organization. You know, my wife is in the other room right now. She sells hearing aids over the telephone. She's going on 8 years this year with the company. 8 years. In today's world, that's unheard of. And she works remotely from day one, but they've got an energy. They've got everybody's insights. She's excited about where she works. She wears all the gear of the company that they ship her. You know, I mentioned we talked before we started recording. We went to Australia in 24, and our hotel stay was through the Airbnb gift cards that she won at her company. So part of the vacation was paid for by the company because she won all the prizes. So that creates more energy. And so she tells everybody about what the great company she works for.
That's some of the best marketing a company can ask for, when your employees, suppliers, partners, connections are just got a positive the viewpoint of your organization. You just can't pay someone to go and say that. It's just, it's authentic. It's so great. When we were talking before we started recording, you mentioned about this ecosystem of contractors and suppliers and partners. I often think great organizations that I've worked with, when I walk around the reception area and I can't tell who works for the company and who works for the third parties, it doesn't matter. It's badges off of the door. It's everybody's bought in. I often think that's a really good setup that has been put in place. And a lot of people, I'm sure, are behind putting that kind of culture where you can't tell who works for what. In fact, some of the suppliers are maybe even wearing the merchandise of the organization. And they don't use the terms supplier and client. It's much more like a partnership. And I think that's the way the world's going in the world of services. The services that really succeed are where it is a long-lived partnership where everybody's focused not on what their contract says or what the deliverables that they're on the hook for, but they're all focused on achieving outcomes for the organization. Because if that happens, everyone wins.
That's a W all the way across the board.
Yeah.
Yep. So let's dive in, Tim, into the platform, and let's talk a little bit about how do you created it and what does it do and how does it help people get those W's across the board?
Yeah, it's funny. It started as an experiment for this. We had this idea. Can we visualize in a star chart kind of idea, allow organizations to set up their teams, whether they are from their company or a supplier or a contractor? Let's just organize who are the people on this mission, and can we allow those teams to document what are the target outcomes they are working towards, and how are they measuring progress? So not KPIs or performance metrics so much, but just if you've got a group of people that are working together and they're working towards an outcome, are there three or four or five ways that will tell us this is how we are making progress? So listeners familiar with objectives and key results or OKRs, it's the principles behind OKRs, and we are really bought into those. I think the step we took after that is how do we then connect? How can one team say, yeah, these are our outcomes and we've set them up in the tool. Now we're going to just make a visualization that we're going to draw a line to this other team's measure. Because we think if we can move this needle, maybe I'm a platform engineer and I'm trying to reduce onboarding time. If I can do that, it's going to help these product teams ship features faster. And maybe those product teams say, if we can ship our features faster, it's going to help this business line achieve an improvement in customer satisfaction because we're able to react to their demand. So we thought, let's just have a really simple, clean interface that allows teams to put in their outcomes and their measures or their objectives and key results and connect them. As we evolved the platform and we talked to lots of users and we tested, there's a lot of organizations that are looking for coaching, mentoring, and consulting still services. So we've evolved the platform so that services companies can use it to anchor their clients' mission around outcomes and measures. So it sets that as the focal point for everyone. And then as they provide services, whether it's workshops or training or mentoring or facilitation, they can connect that work to moving a needle forward. So it's become a bit of a coaching platform where we can capture coaching assets. We're making more and more use these days of video and capturing digitally magical moments that happen in a workshop setting, but allowing that to be repeatable and scalable and shareable. And with all of that, AI has become really useful because AI can then start to learn and see the patterns of success. So it can start to see parts of the organization are really managing to achieve outcomes and their needles are all moving in the right direction. and it learns what was the secret sauce, what was the ingredients that made that happen. Was it particular methods? Was it particular practices? What coaching helps them get there? So that then that can be replicated across the organization and it becomes higher performing. So we've been on a journey. We've been running lots of experiments to try new ways to deliver our services anchored around cloud outcomes. And now we're helping other small consulting companies, niche boutique consulting companies that have got highly trusted relationships with their clients. And we're offering what we've got as an operating system that they can then use to amplify their impact and to become more of a partner in a recurring relationship going forward, maybe changing a little bit the traditional engagement models behind consulting, which is maybe a bit dated now with all of this new technology that's available.
Yeah, what you're doing is helping, for example, the coach that's working with an organization to extrapolate the data. Now you're using AI and stuff to help them kind of analyze it. And then they can go back and say, okay, hey, Tim, based upon the last 30 days, this is the things that I can see has been happening because we've been tracking in the system. And so we should take this for make a couple of tweaks to this department and a couple of tweaks to that. This is working. Let's shut this down because that's proving not to work efficiently. And then we can track it again for the next 30 days. And so now you've got data and you can actually see the progress. So you're really helping all the parties kind of see the transition that's going on with the change in a positive way to the organization.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what I've learned from speaking to thousands of consultants and coaches, there's a lot of services that they provide and they're very high value, that they don't always get to see the impact that they've provided. What we're trying to do is trying to amplify their impact. So rather than it just being a one-time workshop or training course or set of a consulting engagement, we're trying to harness that great knowledge, that great experience, that expertise that the consultant or coach has got. And we're trying to make that more accessible for the weeks, the months, the years that happen in the future. And we find that can be really rewarding. Back to the team, did the team win the cup at the end? Sometimes the consultants, especially strategic consultants, they're in really early on and they're not around when the big prize happens. So we like to be able to show, as a result of your services, the lagging effect was all sorts of transformational changes, which eventually resulted in these amazing outcomes. And you were a part of that. And actually, your energy is still there. It still exists inside the organization. So your services, whilst it may have been a week or two or a month or two last year, they are actually still having impact.
Yeah, that brings up a great point because you may put things in place. You know, a couple of years ago, I was with the company for 3 years. It was a language services company. And we started putting in some technology into place and systems into place and KPIs and all those kind of things. And we changed how we were treating the contractors that were providing interpreting services and a multitude of other things. And fortunately, I was there when the ship took off because we scaled by about $1 million in 1 year. But there was a couple years of work to position that to happen. It didn't happen in 2 minutes. It took 2 years to get everything lined up to get that all going. And so what you're doing is that coach or the consultant could be involved for a year. And then they make say, okay, we think we're good. Thank you for your service and all that stuff. They don't see the outcome that happens 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. So what you're doing is you're helping that individual see that reward and actually both parties, because the consultant sees the reward and the impact they had on that company, which helps them impact other companies because it becomes a story for them. At the same time, it goes for that customer that utilizes your service and the consultant going, wow, look at how this transformed our company in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And we have this, the data behind all of that is also really powerful because we're starting to learn patterns of success and that helps organizations. So we have this sort of mantra, it's continuous coaching, continuous learning, and we're constantly feeding that ecosystem. The other thing with the coach is, often a consultant will do a very immersive strategic piece of work and they're engaged to do that. I used to deliver a lot of product owner training, agile product owner training and Scrum product owner training. And when these were two-day workshops, and we would have amazing conversations, amazing questions, amazing energy in the classroom. I always remember one of my students saying in the wrap-up, I wish I could take Tim in my pocket. I know over the next months, I'm going to try lots of these things, but I wish I could get Tim out just to help me or maybe to help with a conversation. And I've always felt consulting services, it's quite time bound. It's this idea that because they're always assigned around projects and they have a start date and an end date. With the idea of continuous coaching, we're looking at a subscription model where organizations can have access to a consultant or a coach little and often when they need it. They can book time, like half hour with that coach, maybe several weeks after, several months after the engagement. If everything's anchored around the client's outcomes and the measures that matter to them, you can start to organize the coaching around that. Yeah, again, it's another experiment that we're running. I look at the economy at the minute where there's a lot of subscription tools, but I'm wondering, could this work with coaching and consultants? You pay a subscription, you almost a bit like a retainer, but a way that I can continue to keep the conversation going. That allows the consultant to make sure what they started with you lands and sticks and sustains. And it offers comfort to the client that when they run into some challenges or maybe come off the track a little bit, there is going to be an access point to maybe correct a little bit or get reoriented back on the outcomes. So yeah, there's a lot of things we're exploring and how this could help services of the future be delivered to more tangible outcomes.
Can you share a story with someone that's used your platform and the outcome that they got out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. If I look at one of our biggest customers at the minute, it's a German energy company. And for us, it started very small. And I think this is some of the best engagements start really small. It was a half day workshop with the IT leadership team. And it was to drive a little bit of awareness around agile methods and ways of working. Now, I met the CIO at that workshop and the CIO shared with me his vision for transformation. He wanted to transform his organization to being a much more outcome-driven organization, much more adaptive and responsive to the market needs, being able to release their changes to their systems much more frequently. But something he said to me was, I don't want to bring in one of the really big companies that we work with, because they'll come in, they'll bring lots of slides and they'll have their frameworks and they'll do all this stuff, but we won't be left with any capability. He said, we need to be enabled. We need to build this skill, these mental muscles ourselves. And I said, look, this is music to my ears because I used to be one of those consultants that you're talking about. And I completely understand and resonate. If I were you, I would want the same thing. So it was literally a half day engagement we'd been brought in to do. But what happened over the months that followed, we started to do a strategic alignment workshop. So we started to articulate the goals, the why of this transformation into a set of really tangible target outcomes that could be communicated and shared and made very visible. We put some measures in place so we could see, okay, these are the measures that we need to try and move. And then I ran some more training to get some more of the organization a bit more familiar with the practices around measurable outcomes. And then our platform came into play. And now the reason our platform was appealing was the CIO asked me for some feedback on his OKRs, his objectives and key results. He was using them for the first time. And this was an opportunity. Again, I've been running lots of experiments. I decided rather than write a long email or book a meeting, I'm going to record a 10-minute Loom video of me giving him some feedback on his OKRs and some suggestions about how they could be improved. And also allowed me to very visually show the ideas I had around connecting all of his organization's outcomes and building a star chart. Anyway, it was an experiment to see whether he would even watch the video. He was a very busy CIO, but through the data in our platform, we noticed he'd logged in, he'd registered, he'd watched the video not once, but twice. Then he asked if all of his team could have access to the same coaching video. And a couple of weeks later, I looked at our metrics again, and I saw that video had been watched 19 times by 10 different people. And I thought, wow, that took 10 minutes of my time. And it's now my time has been amplified 190, 200 minutes just from one recording. I thought this could be a really interesting way to deliver services, not all services, but where there's a really important message And we want people to be able to repeat it, share it, scale it, and extend the reach. And it's almost taken a bit of a digital marketing approach to consulting services, because we're trying to do this like a podcast. You know, what are we trying to do? As you're trying to reach an audience, you're trying to engage their interest. You're trying to get them to watch your content. You really want them to stay to the end and not drop off. And you want them to engage and leave some comments, and you want them to share. And it's the same thing.
And value, but you got to deliver the value for that to happen. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Exactly. So can we see, oh, this is actually helping move this valuable outcome? So yeah, it's become a partnership. This is probably a year and a half ago we started this. We have a monthly subscription arrangement with them where they're getting value from me and my coaching team. We see very clearly the measures that are moving every month. We extract data from our platform. I have a governance session with the client where we look at, this is how you engaged us. These are the subscriptions you got. This is how we spent the time. These are the outcomes that moved in the last month. Do you want to have another month of us? And it's a case of we are laser focused on moving the needles against their outcomes. They have a trusted relationship that they can move us to where their problems are. And we have very creative ways to deliver it. Sometimes it is in-person consulting. Sometimes it's sitting, pairing with their people. But sometimes it's creating a digital asset, video. Sometimes it's creating little AI apps that will help solve a problem. But crucially, everything is anchored around their outcomes. And yeah, it's been a really good proof point for us, this particular example, as to how services of the future might be delivered.
It's a brilliant idea, because you can still have access to the individual without necessarily paying the hourly rate or whatever that individual. And 3 months down the road, oh man, I got a question. Oh gosh, I'm going to pay, you know, bazillion dollars for 15-minute conversation. Well, I can just go on this platform and poof, ask the question and get a response back, and cost me a fraction of that.
Yeah, and that response might be a video that I can then share with my team and get them to watch it, or it might be that I can book time with that great guy that I felt really connected with a few months ago. Yeah, just offers lots of different ways to try and keep these relationships going and to keep moving forward and to make sure that transformation efforts actually stick and sustain.
And it also helps people see that they're moving the needle, and so that creates the energy. Just like we talk going back with the sports team, you start getting a couple W's, that gets everybody fired up, because now we want another W. You know, look, we accomplished this goal. Well, it's like my wife and I, we both got extensive sales background, and we want that W. You want that sale, because that fuels you for another, to go after another one. If you're running dry, you start guessing yourself as, geez, do I still got it? What's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? And all that stuff. So you start second guessing yourself versus, oh, well, look, here's the metrics that we've moved this far. And okay, yeah, we had a slow moment, but if we look at our historical, this is a moment that we do have a slow period. And so all is good.
Yeah. One of the most satisfying things I see is when people mindset changes from what is on my to-do list today to what is the measure I am trying to move today. And if that's a shared measure that everyone's aligned on, that's what people are now starting to think about. These are the 3, 4, 5 measures, needles that we are trying to move. And when people all start to rally around moving the needle rather than just ticking off items on a to-do list, which maybe are not connected to any kind of measure, that's when we start to remove waste. That's when we start to make sure everybody is doing the most valuable output, because the output is generating outcomes and those outcomes are generating impact. Yeah, just marvelous energy and motivation.
Oh yeah, when I was running that language services, when it took over, we started doing Monday morning meetings. And part of it was to review, you know, what last week was. We didn't have the tools that you've got put together, but we did it the old school way, you know, but we looked at what, you know, how many interpretations were done, how many document translations were done, et cetera, what worked, what didn't work. Here's what was the revenue for the week. How did that position us closer to our ultimate goal? Because I set up a big, you know, hairy goal that everybody thought was unrealistic. But I always have a feeling if you shoot for Mars and you miss and you land on the moon, you're a lot closer than shooting from the moon and miss, and you're out floating in space going nowhere. But that created momentum because everybody started seeing that the needle was moving. And once everybody's seeing that their contributions are moving the needle, that gets everybody more fired up because they're seeing progress. You're making traction.
Yeah, and you start to make that connection. Ah, those translations, each one of those, I can see there's a lagging effect on our revenue and our organization's becoming more successful. I feel connected to that.
I'm making that happen. That's the big part.
Yeah, so cool.
Great conversation, Tim, as we kind of wrap up here. How can people find you?
Yeah, cool. I love chatting about this stuff, as you can tell, and I'm up for chatting with anyone who would like to have a virtual coffee or an in-person coffee if you're in the UK. So I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me there. I'm Tim Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. You can also check out our platform, which is Stellafi, spelled S-T-E-L-L-A-F-A-I. So we're at stellafi.com. The platform's completely free. So if you want to sign up and add your teams and your measures, we don't charge for any of that. We do charge for coaching on top of that. But I'm more than happy to jump on a call and talk through the challenges or the problems or the ideas anyone's got around outcomes. And I'd love to continue the conversation if this is sparked.
Thank you so much for your time. Great conversation. And definitely would love to have you back on the show down the road to continue the conversation.
I'd love that. No, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for the great questions.
Great convo. All right. Thanks much.
What stood out in today's conversation with Tim is this. When your team aligns around outcomes, growth gets easier and customers get better results. For service-based business owners, that matters because many growth problems are really alignment problems. And that's exactly what I believe, too. Building a thriving business starts with creating focus, trust, and systems that turn good intentions into real progress. Know another service-based business owner who could benefit from this? Send them the link and help them get one superfan closer. If today's conversation got you thinking about where your business could be, not just this year, but 3 years from now, don't let it stop here. Too many service-based founders get stuck in feast or famine revenue, marketing that doesn't convert, and teams that depend on them for every decision. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We've got another great guest coming up, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. Remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer to lasting prosperity.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.